We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. All right. So I'm like, I know, as if the offering message wasn't exciting enough, I'm like super excited about this message for you tonight because I was praying and I was just like, Lord, you know, what do you want me to say? Because I don't want to just get up here and blabber about anything. I was like, what is it that you want to say? What do you want to say to your people? And the Lord, he told me, he said, tell them how big I am. He said, tell them how faithful I am. He said, tell them how nothing is impossible for me. And I was just like, wow. How do you even put that into words? How do you even tell how big God is? And you know, this is so important because you see, when we come to God in prayer, we need to realize the power of the one that we are coming to, that we aren't praying to someone who is not able to take care of our need, who is not both able but willing to take care of our need. We are coming to the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke the word and the earth became, the one who heals blind eyes, the one who causes the lame to walk, the one who raises the dead, the one who multiplies resources, he gives creative ideas, the one who gives dreams, he gives visions, he blesses the work of your hands. He is the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. That is the kind of God that we serve. I could stand here and try to, my brain can't even come up with the words to articulate exactly how big he is. And not only is he willing, like I said, but he is also willing to meet your needs, to answer your prayers, and to bless you abundantly, because absolutely nothing is impossible for him. And when we come in prayer, I think we need to realize that is who we are coming to, that problems that seem impossible to us are not impossible to him. You know, as we read through this Bible, we see story after story after story of his goodness, of his faithfulness, of his power. I'm just going to go through a few of the stories that were popping to my head because I was trying to pick one, and I couldn't, not because there isn't one, but because there are so many. You know, let's start in the Old Testament. You read and you see the Red Sea parted. What other God has parted a sea? None that I know of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a blazing hot furnace, so hot that the people who threw them in got burned, right? And they came out not only unharmed, but it says that their clothes did not even smell of smoke. You sit around a campfire and you smell like smoke. They were thrown into a furnace, and they didn't even smell like smoke. David defeated the giant champion Goliath with a rock and a little sling. He shot him in the what? He shot him in the forehead. I mean, that is the God that we serve. The people, here's one. The people of God marched around a walled city of Jericho, and then they shouted, and the walls fell flat. That is the kind of God that we serve. Oh, here's a good one. So there was a widow who was facing her son. She had this collector, and her sons were going to be taken away to pay her debt. And her husband was someone who served the Lord. So she went to the prophet and she said, what am I going to do? And he said, what do you have? And she said, I have one jar of oil. And you know what he said? He said, go collect lots of jars. Collect not a few. So collect a lot. And she did. She obeyed. And she pours oil from this one jar and continues pouring jar after jar after jar after jar until she doesn't have any place to put them. And then she sells all of that oil and her debt is paid. That is the kind of God we serve. That's a miracle working God that we serve. Manna from heaven, water from a rock. Time after time when his people go into battle, the Lord defeats the enemy for them. Here's a few good ones on prayer. So you've got Elijah who follows Elisha, or is it the other way around? The other way around. Yes, there you go. Those are always confusing to me. So through prayer, Elijah commands the rain to stop. Then he commands the rain to come. And in the meanwhile, he calls fire down from heaven. All of this happens. This is the kind of God we serve. And my situation seems impossible, but I'm not having to call fire down from heaven to consume an offering. But God could do it. He did it for him. God's not a respecter of persons. Joshua prayed that the sun and the moon would stand still to give him time to defeat the enemies. New Testament. Jesus prays over a little boy's Lunchable, and 5,000 people are fed. Multiplication, yeah. Leprosy healed, people raised from the dead. Peter was one time sleeping in prison, and there were people praying for him. Now, Peter's going to be, like, crucified. He's going to be killed, or not crucified, but killed. People are praying for him. An angel has to come and wake him up and say, let's go. Opens the prison doors. He is freed from prison. He doesn't even realize what's happening. The people who are praying for him when he goes to knock on the door can't even believe their prayer is answered. But that's the kind of God we serve. Faithful, powerful. Nothing is impossible. I can't even make these stories up. I mean, I have a pretty good imagination, but I can't come up with this stuff that the Lord does. I mean, for my situation, I could probably think of about like 10 ways that the Lord can come through for me, and he'll come up with like 11 and blow my mind. Seriously, that's the kind of God we serve. And, you know, my prayer is that we not look at this Bible as a mere book, but as God-breathed instructions for us, because that's what they are. These stories are not just like fairy tale stories that you tell kids in kids' church. These stories are real accounts written to you and to me to teach us, to empower us, to encourage us, to show this is what God did. He did it for them. He'll do it for you. Why do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bible tells me that he is not a respecter of persons. So the same things that happened with them, I can take it for myself. I can take every single one of these words written for myself. I can meet the condition and have the promise. That's the kind of God we serve. Faithful, just. You know, as we read the book, this Bible, this book is life. It is alive. It teaches us. It's full of power. And when we read it, it builds us up. That's the purpose of it. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And faith is what gets God's attention. Faith is what moves things. It all connects to who God is. And God is this word. It says in 1 John 1:5, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. We need to get a revelation of who God is. And the way we get a revelation of who God is, this word right here. That's why he gave it to us. This is a gift given to us. It's not a mere book to just put on our shelves. It is something written to encourage us. You know, I love the rest of that verse in 1 John after it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same as in the beginning was with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the dark, and the dark comprehend it not. That is the kind of God we serve, made all things. In him are all things. I was thinking about that at the drive here. Nothing I have I could have without him. I would not be here without him. This whole world only stays in existence because of him. We are only here because of him. That is the God we serve. You know, this word is the key. It has our answers. It's who he is. It's given to us. And when we take it as truth, and when we stand upon it, when we confess it, when we use it to pray, that is when we see miracles. That is when we see God's hand in our lives. That is when we see prayers answered. And that is when I cannot wait to hear the testimonies for it. Because just like Muti was saying earlier about the fervent prayer, When we take this word, when we mix it with our desire, when we pray fervently, man, that is powerful stuff. That is powerful stuff. That is dead, raising, need meeting kind of stuff. That is the God that we serve. So I pray that we let the word of God become our reality, that we let the reality of who God is be greater than the reality of what our circumstances that we're facing. That's what my prayer. Let us come to realize that we aren't praying to someone who doesn't have the ability to help, but that there is no problem that the Lord cannot fix tonight. You may have taken you 6 years to get yourself all messed up, but it can take God one night to fix it. Let's take the example of the Israelites. When they were slaves to the Egyptians, it looked like an impossible situation. They were slaves, badly treated slaves. They had been slaves for years, and freedom did not seem like a possibility in the natural. They couldn't even believe, like, freedom, we're slaves, this is how it is, you know. But when the Lord intervened, this is what happened. Not only were they let go and became free people, but it says in Exodus 12, 35 through 36, and the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold, and the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. So in one day, God takes these badly treated slaves, frees them, and they leave with the wealth of the ones who kept them in slavery. That is the kind of God we serve. That is the power that he has to free his people. But before he frees them, he lets them take all the wealth with them. That's the God we serve. You know, there's this testimony from our family. There is this time that situations had just come up and expenses have come up. And I don't remember all the details, because I just remember the testimony of it. So all the bad stuff, I don't remember the details of it. But I remember that we weren't even at zero in our account. I think we had overdraft, and we were at like negative something. And I remember we, you know, put the kids in bed, and I was just like, I have no idea. You know, payday is a little bit away. I have no idea what's going to happen. And we, you know, pray for the kids when we put them in bed. And my husband, while he's praying, he goes, and I rebuke the devourer. And when he said that, man, I was like, I'm glad I'm not the devourer, because that was, and that's all he said. I rebuke the devourer. But because we have authority from the word of God to do that, man, did that devourer get rebuked? Because the next morning we woke up, and guess what? We had $10,000 in our account. And guess who it was from? The government. The least likely. We had done like our tax return, and they were like crazy fast at getting it back to us. Like, not government normal fast. Like, and I am telling you, I was like, man, we got to do that more often. Like, man, that was awesome. And the thing was that it was above and beyond, just like our great father is above and beyond. Cause I was thinking he'd come through like with enough to make us till payday or something. $10,000 was not what I was thinking. From the government was not what I was thinking. But that is the God we serve. Like I said, we can come up with 10 ways that maybe it would come about, and he comes with the 11th that blows your mind. That is the kind of God that we serve. Time after time after time, through the word, through our lives, we see that God comes through for the righteous, and we see his great deeds. We need to remind ourselves of those testimonies. I needed to remember that testimony, not only for myself, but also to say, hey, devil, you know how you think you got it? Remember how God came through for us then? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's coming through for me again. You remember how he came through for all those people in the Bible? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is coming through again for me. Our God stands true to his promises. He is faithful. He is big. He is powerful. I don't know how many times I can say it. I'm going to say it and say it and say it until hopefully you get the revelation of all that he is. You know, we need to rejoice when others give testimonies because we know if God did it for them, he's going to do it for me because he is not a respecter of persons. I'm going to be happy when you give me a testimony because I'm going to say hallelujah. Not only am I happy for you, but I know that I still serve the living God. That he's still alive and moving and there's nothing that's going to change that. Our lives are going to be a testimony to all who see it. They're going to say, what is different? I can see you are blessed. That is the kind of God we serve. And we're going to say, you know what's different? I serve the living God. And then from our lives, we're going to be able to see many come to know Jesus. So when we come to pray tonight, I wanted you to realize who we are praying to. That we need to have the realization that the creator of heaven and earth wants to hear from us. That he wants to move on our behalf. That he is the King of Kings and nothing is impossible for him. You know, with how big and how great and how powerful and awesome and all those other adjectives that I want to say about him, he's so great, but he does not force himself upon us. He does not force his will on us. It is up to us. He lays things out for us. He lays out a table before us of all these great things we can have. The word is filled with all of these things that he wants us to have, but it is up to us to take action. It is up to us to get that fervency, that fire, and say, Lord, I know you have it, and I'm going to get it. If this word only works for one person on the planet, it's going to be me. I am going to see your word come to pass. I am going to see testimonies. You know, in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Not only do we serve a good God who lays these things before us, he also gives us little hints like, hey, choose life. I want you to. He's rooting for you. He's on your side. He is not in heaven sitting there waiting for you to make a mistake so he can throw lightning bolts at you. He's not throwing sickness on you. That's not the God we serve. He's not bringing you to poverty. That's not the God we serve. That's not the God I read about. I read about an abundant, all-powerful God who wants to bless you. He is a good God. Just like us as parents would never give awful things to our kids, our Heavenly Father only has good things for us, more than we could ever ask, more than we could ever imagine, and that is the God that we serve. He has given us free will, and that is why we pray, because it is up to us to surrender to him. He's not going to force you to take the good things he has for you. You have to want them. Do you really want them? Do you want them enough to go find a scripture verse or five that back up what you want? To spend that time finding out what is it that the Lord has? Do you want it enough to spend more than 2 minutes in prayer? Do you want it enough to not care what everyone thinks about you when you pray? To come before the Lord and really do business with him? You know, he died for you publicly in the most gruesome way possible, and we're afraid to raise our voices in church? To pray for something he already gave us that we know we can have? We serve a big God who loves you like crazy, not just like a high school crush, like an unconditional lay my life down for you love, like give you the best love. That is the God we serve. You know, when we pray, we are showing him honor. We are showing him, Lord, we need you. We are giving him the thanks and the praise due his name. Because prayer is not just asking. It is praising and thanking the God who is the one who does it all. It is giving him all the glory and honor because it is due to him, not due to me. I can't do diddly squat. Without God, I can't do it. So that's what the Lord told me to tell you. He said to tell them how big I am, but he also said to tell them that I love them. Tell them that I care about them. Tell them that I want to bless them and that I want to hear from them. When you're fervent, you're putting your heart out to the Lord. He wants to hear that. That thing that we talked about during offering that the Shunammite woman dared not even utter, the Lord knew that was her desire. The Lord wants to hear from you, from your mouth, from your heart. That's the fervent prayer that is going to get answers. Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.